Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Two games, one defeat, one win. The Swans seeing off the Terriers in a rather bonkers game last weekend at the Liberty Stadium. But Bristol City beaten comfortably is what we're going to say by Huddersfield during the week. Chris Willock with his first goal for the club since arriving on loan from Benfica, and a Carlin Grant penalty putting the Robins to the sword. Yes, Famara Juju did bag a consolation right at the death, which offered a slight scare, but certainly did not deter the boys as they bagged a first win since that victory over QPR on the 8th of February. Everything would be okay if it wasn't for the form of those teams in the bottom three. What is going on down there? Luton Town with a sudden resurgence, Barnsley with three victories on the bounce, and Wigan going unbeaten in four. Two draws, two defeats. Thank goodness for the poor form of Middlesbrough, and somewhat with Stoke City too, although they are still unbeaten in two as it goes. Huddersfield Town 2 points above those relegation spots, and that is certainly how we want it to stay ahead of the game with Charlton tomorrow. It's the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Matt Shaw of the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Great to have you with us here on this fine Friday evening. Also, we have Huddersfield Town cult hero Ian Dunn is on the line. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Matt. Are you okay?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Great to have you back with us, Ian. Let's talk about a week in football. The game's coming thick and fast these days. Sometimes we have a three-game week. It's causing all kinds of problems for team selection, and especially the Cowleys, Matt. They are tinkering with that starting lineup and bringing players in, leaving them out. We'll start on the game with Swansea first. It was so close to being a draw. Steve Mounier coming off the bench to get yet another goal and a fine run of goal-scoring form for him. But I think it was, what, just over 2 minutes before we saw what I must say was one of the simplest goals I've ever seen. And that's when you look at football and you go, do you know what? It doesn't actually have to be that complicated. A corner floated in, Jay Fulton with the header, and then Swansea end up getting another one through Jordan Garrick. It was Swansea 3, Huddersfield Town 1. A difficult one, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a good job I've got a lot of hair, to be honest, Matt, because I was certainly pulling it out on Saturday. First 55 minutes, we were very poor. I remember speaking to you last week on this show, and I was quite, you know, me and Richard were both quite confident. We thought we could go there and get a result. And quite a few people, when they saw the team sheet, were a little bit sort of taken aback. You know, no Steve Mounier to start, no Emil Smith-Rowe. And the reason the Cowleys gave a fine, you know, they've got to look after the players, and different players bring different attributes. But for the first 50, 55 minutes, we were really poor against Swansea. It was a bit of a tough one to swallow, to be honest. And the defending on the second goal was something that, you know, I'd have been guilty for in my career. Never mind Huddersfield Town. So it was a disappointing one, but we bounced back brilliantly on Tuesday. So it's not been a bad week all in all.
No, it certainly hasn't. Ian, I want to talk about that second goal because it was a simple goal. And like I said at the top there, you often see goals like that and you think, you know what? Why doesn't that happen in every game? A corner comes in, a player reaches the header and a goal goes in. This is a slightly wider issue now with regards to set pieces because I know the club have been working quite heavily on these. The goalkeeper coach, Paul Clements, has been brought in and actually works quite closely on set pieces. And that was part of Huddersfield's armoury really earlier on in the season. But now it's a case of not scoring set pieces. And not only that, actually conceding from set pieces. When you're a player and you concede a goal like that, how frustrating is it when you think, do you know what, it's just too easy?
Yeah, I mean, I was always brought up as a kid. I was always told that football, I know it's a saying, but it's a simple game made difficult by the coaches and the players. And I sort of think when you see simple goals like that going in, you just think, yeah, that just harks back to that. It is that simple at times. And sometimes you try and overcomplicate things. But that's the way of the football, the modern game. You know, coaches want to tinker and try and work out ways of defeating teams via set plays. For Town this season, like you say, they've let in a few goals from set pieces, and it's the defending of them that you would think it would be straightforward. You follow the ball, follow your man, and clear it, but it just isn't. The other team sometimes just get the edge on you, and that's what happened last week.
I have to say, Matt, it did feel a little bit like Swansea were almost playing, I don't know, like an away side to an extent. They essentially let Huddersfield have the ball. They played as that away team and kind of caught them on the counter, and that's how they nicked it, really. It felt like on occasions as well, Town were almost going through the motions a little bit. I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but it just feels like in that way, results just aren't really going Town's way if we go back to that game with Swansea. But clever tactics, really, from Steve Cooper to set his stall out in the way where he went, do you know what? All right, you guys have the ball and we'll catch you on the counter.
Yeah, they stood off us a little bit, did Swansea, and they had just allowed us to sort of have the ball in that sort of triangle of the two centre-backs and the goalkeeper. So I think the possession probably looks a little bit skewed. I don't think it was really quality possession, to be honest, Matt, and I don't think the territory-wise we got too deep into the Swansea third. And part of the reason, I think, for that was the sort of tactical approach up front where we went with Carlin Grant. And Carlin Grant's not really a player who can play with his back to goal and bring others into play quite as effectively as a Steve Mounier or a Fraser Campbell who was ill. So I think we really sort of struggled to transition through the third, and the sort of final ball into the final third just wasn't quite there. So, you know, Swansea were quite happy to sit and then just pick us off, you know, when we tried to make our way in. And as soon as we did that, we overcommitted, and then they could flood through the inside channels and unfortunately took us apart a bit too easily towards the end.
Ian, I also want to talk about the loan players too, because I know the Cowleys came out after the game and Danny Cowley spoke quite firmly about the fact that the likes of Emil Smith-Rowe not really ready to play three games in the space of a week. Chris Willock not ready to even play 90 minutes. It is about that man management. I, however, would bat back a little bit on this because, listen, we've only got 11 games left of the Championship this season, and they've been brought in, they're young lads, and I know we say that we don't want to tire out young lads, but I don't know if I buy into the fact that you need to manage a player like Emil Smith-Rowe. He's a guy full of beans, surely he's going to come into the club, and the more football really, the better for him at the moment. I know they might pick up a knock here and there, but I would have thought with, you know, what they signed in mid-January or so it's not that much football that they're going to be playing. And whether this is an agreement, I don't know. Maybe they've got an agreement with Benfica, with Arsenal, for example, to say, listen, don't overplay him. But surely, when you're a Premier League club and you send a player on loan to a Championship club, you want him to play as much football as you possibly can. So this man management, I get in the modern game, but I also think, do you know what? Just stick him in.
Yeah, I agree with you, Matt, actually. I really do. But there's two ways of looking at it. The player has come in. Town fans will, because these have come from clubs that are perceived to be bigger clubs, they're coming in, the Town fans will have a certain expectation of them. And I think maybe sometimes some of the signals or the sound that come out of the club are to almost deflate them expectations. Not deflate them, that's the wrong word. Basically not expect too much too soon, and then the pressure doesn't get to the player as well. The other thing is that if they haven't been playing, I get the little bit that they could maybe, you know, strain muscles. But no, I'm going to contradict myself here. The young lads, they want to play. I would imagine they want to play every minute of every game. But I think it's maybe a tactic that maybe Danny Cowley's used to just quell optimism. You want your fans to be optimistic about the players you're bringing in, but you don't want them to place too much expectation on them straight away. Sort of give them a chance to bed into the team and become an asset. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. The player, I can't imagine for 1 minute the players themselves will be thinking along the lines of, hey, you know, I can't play 90 minutes. Of course you can. You young lads, you're fit. You've worked all your life towards playing football. That is why you're at Huddersfield Town. You want to start and you want to play every minute.
What do you make of it, Matt? Because in a way, Danny Cowley's kind of been proven right, I suppose, to an extent. I mean, we're saying that we don't really agree with it, but he brought in Emile Smith-Rowe for that game against Bristol City in the week. He's brought in Chris Willock as well. He scored his first goal for the club. So to some extent, I suppose he's been proven right. And maybe this is all part of the grand plan, because tomorrow against Charlton is probably the biggest game the club have had in recent weeks.
Yeah, there's definitely an element of that, Matt. But I think one of the main things is a sort of a longer term picture as well. The club, when David Wagner was here, built up quite a good reputation for being able to take young players, look after them properly, and it served us well. You know, we had sort of four or five loans that were in the team in 2016-17, and at the minute there's sort of 15 to 20 Championship teams all sort of fighting for the best loan of youth from the Premier League, and I think you've got to kind of give a little bit of yardage to the parent club, if you like, and you've got to prove that you can take care of them properly. When sort of young Arsenal players come up, I always remember Arsene Wenger going on about Jack Wilshere being in the red zone and overplaying, you know, sort of those memories come back. So I think there's an element where Town have got to prove that they've got to look after them, not overplay them, make sure they don't get injured, and put ourselves in a good position to take loan players from them in the future as well, because I think that's going to be quite at the forefront of our recruitment strategy going forward, is that we're going to need loan players from your Arsenals, your Liverpools, your Man City. And I think we've just got to prove that we can take care of them, otherwise we'll be at the bottom of the queue. But yes, I agree as well. Hopefully Emile Smith-Rowe will be fresh for Charlton, and he's becoming a very key player very quickly.
Yeah, indeed he is. We're going to get onto the Charlton game in a moment or two. But Ian, I want to quickly focus on the form of the teams below Huddersfield, as I said at the top of the show. Is any part of you, we know that often you expect a bit of a response from those teams in and around the relegation zone come the end of the season, but I cannot believe what's happening in the Championship this season. I know we say that it's a bit of a crazy league at the best of times, but in terms of those relegation teams, Luton, like I said, 3 wins from 4. Barnsley, 3 on the bounce. Wigan, unbeaten in 4. Barnsley and Luton in particular looked dead and buried, 5 games ago. They have thrust themselves back into the frame for survival in the Championship. Luton, the basement boys, just 4 points adrift of Middlesbrough, 6 points adrift of yourselves, Huddersfield Town. It is unbelievable what's happening in the Championship this season.
It really is. You're right. You look at the form of these teams just below Town, and there is cause for concern. If Huddersfield, tomorrow is undoubtedly a massive, massive game, but there's another 10 after that, because, yeah, you're looking at the form of the teams below us and just above, you know, they're all doing okay. Particularly, like you say, Barnsley and Luton are putting some runs together. Wigan are the ones to watch for me, because they've got a bit of form as well, and they're only 2 points behind us. Tomorrow, 3 points is almost a necessity for me. And then you're going into the last 10 games and you really got to strike up some form.
You do indeed. Massive day in the Championship tomorrow, both at the top of the table and the bottom of the table. Just 11 games left in the second tier this season. I mean, pretty much every weekday now, every game day is a massive one to the end of the season. We're going to be talking about that Charlton game. We're also going to be touching on a bit of a bizarre excuse that Lee Bowyer has given before the game already about whether his team have been given a disadvantage for this one. We're going to be touching on the Premier League Hall of Fame too.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Matt Shaw of the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Ian Dunn, Huddersfield Town legend, with us too. Now, Matt, I want to quickly touch on... I quickly touch on everything, don't I? I need to stop saying that. I want to talk about the games in the Championship this weekend. Like I said, every game day now is crucial until the end of the season. 11 games to go at the top of the Championship. It's madness because of all the teams in the top 12. Many are coming up against each other. But those teams as well, like we said earlier on, from 18th down. Actually, you can put Hull into that bracket as well. They are in freefall. Tom Eves out until the end of the season too, so that's going to be worse for them, losing their firepower up top already with Jared Bowen. They are not in a good run of form, and they have Leeds United tomorrow, so you'd expect them to maybe drop points in that one. And then we've got some massive six-pointers. Like you said, Huddersfield facing Charlton Athletic. You've got Luton facing Stoke. That is a huge six-pointer. Wigan, yes, on a good run of form, but they are away at West Bromwich Albion, who have picked up a bit of a decent run of form as well. They look like they're home and hosed to be champions of the division. It is so difficult to pick, and Barnsley travelling away to Reading, who themselves, I think it's one win in 9 or 10 for them. So we've got this bizarre scenario that on, you know, game day 36 in the Championship, pretty much all the teams in the top are playing against each other, and a lot of the teams in the bottom are playing against each other.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's everything which makes the Championship a great spectacle as well. It's exciting. Everybody's involved. We did a podcast earlier this week, and we were talking about the possibility of everybody in the bottom half potentially facing relegation. I think there are three or four clubs also potentially facing penalty deductions, 9-point penalty deductions, which hasn't quite come in and out yet, so there's still perhaps another twist and turn to go with that as well, if the EFL decide to plough through with it like they did last year. So there's a lot of good turns, and you look at the results or the fixtures we've got even, and we do have a number of fixtures at home which will be flagged as key. We've got Wigan at home, we've got Charlton at home obviously tomorrow, and we've also got some tougher ones as well with West Brom as well. But it's just crazy how everybody seems to be picking up points towards the bottom end, and there's a lot of shades of 2012-2013 to this, where Peterborough ended up going down with over 50 points that season, third from bottom.
Ian, I want to reference Lee Bowyer here and his comments that he's made, and he's tried to do the classic quip before the game and said, you know, Huddersfield have had 24 hours more rest than we have coming into this game. He said it's never been that the other team have always played their previous game on the same day as us. They have. There's been 11 occasions this season, so he's kind of talking out of his backside a little bit, to be fair. They don't have a great record with regards to this. I think it's been 5 times this season they've played 2 games in the space of less than 5 days with that disadvantage of a day over their opponent. They've only won 1 of those previous 4, so it's not been a great experience for them. But do you buy into this when a manager comes out, you know, on the eve of a game saying, oh, they've had a day's more rest? Does it really make that much of a difference?
No, and to be honest, if you're a player, that's, you know, a Charlton player, he's basically given excuse to lose, I hope, you know, because you come out, you're making excuses before the game, unless in his head he's thinking, you know, trying to work the mind games at Huddersfield. Hopefully that won't work. But no, he's given his lads
excuse. Oh, I think we've lost Ian. Matt, I'm going to quickly come to you on that one. I hope he didn't fall down the stairs. It sounded like he fell over. Ian, we do hope you're okay. We have to welcome you back on the show in a moment or two. But it is funny, isn't it, that he's saying this, Lee Bowyer. And to be fair, if you were to look, I mean, this is the problem when managers make comments without actually doing any research or without being actually given any research by a media team or a member of the stats department that clubs seem to have nowadays. But in the past 2 games where Huddersfield have actually had a day's extra rest than their opponents, they've lost both of them, Bristol City and Wigan Athletic. So it doesn't really make the biggest amount of difference.
It's still 3 games in a week, Matt. You know, it's not... whether you play one game before or after, you know, you could easily say, you know, they've had more rest than us going into the midweek game. So I don't really think it matters. And I think Lee Bowyer knows that as well. He's played enough games himself to know that it doesn't matter. I think he's just looking for any kind of edge that he can get over us. And I'll be very surprised if what he says gets into anything that Danny Cowley is thinking about, in all honesty.
Carlin Grant obviously back in for that game against Swansea as well. He admitted himself that he probably didn't have the best game, but back on the score sheet, of course, in that victory over Bristol City. It's 2-11 for him now, but we'll look at it in the sense of, well, I think it's 2-4 if you take away that 3-game absence as well. So he'll be playing his former club at the weekend as well. So a bit of added spice there.
Yeah, he got quite a bit of stick from the Charlton fans that the return, you know, the match down at the Valley, which was a little bit surprising. Usually the Charlton fans are some of the best ones you'll come across, you know, very fair down there. So it was a little bit of a surprise that he got some stick. But I don't think he was overly fussed by it. And again, I think, you know, I don't think he'll be overly bothered this week. He's quite a professional guy, is Carlin, so I would imagine he'll be up for it. And he was outstanding on Tuesday. It was Carlin Grant, the three behind Fraser Campbell, all three of them, Carlin Grant, Chris Willock and Emil Smith Rowe, were really, really, really on top form. So, you know, more of that, and I'm sure he'll be happy after the game.
You'd have to say, really, when you look at that, and just when you say it, that's actually one of the most formidable attacking options, really, in the Championship. I don't even think I'm getting carried away there. Carlin Grant, great player, has already proven that he can do it in the Premier League. Emil Smith Rowe, Premier League pedigree with Arsenal. Chris Willock had that and is now with Benfica in Primeira Liga in Portugal. You know, I think you look at these players. Steve Mounier, yes, hasn't been the most prolific in recent seasons, but currently on a great scoring run. So those options for Danny Cowley, if they perform to the level that they can do, that for me is one of the better options, attacking options, throughout the entire division.
We do generally have some really good players, Matt. You know, even you throw in the likes of Janino Bakuna, who's weighed in with goals from midfield. Lewis O'Brien's an outstanding player that we've got as a number 8 in the 4-2-3-1 system as well. Jonathan Hogg's experienced. He's been promoted to the Premier League with us before. I think there's just some question marks over structure. You know, against Bristol City, we were very much on top. We should have scored a couple of goals more, but then as soon as they applied a little bit of pressure, we creaked a little bit at the back. And I think there are certain sort of structural issues that we've got. But if talking about statistics as well, I know you can't rewrite history to a degree, but if we happily sweep aside the 8 games that we've played this season where we've got 1 point and Danny Cowley wasn't yet in the dugout, if you sort of extrapolate that to across the season to where we are now, Huddersfield Town will be around 12th and 13th and quite happily ensconced in mid-table. So it kind of shows that we've been a mid-table side that could threaten either end, if you like, since the Cowleys have come in. And I think if we also had a long injury list as well just before Christmas, where we ended up playing 5 or 6 academy guys on the bench as well, and had it not been for that sort of little bad run, we could potentially have been higher. And I'm sure they'll be looking at that for next season and thinking, if we can just get things right and a bit more structure, then we might be able to kick on, providing we stay up this year, of course.
It certainly does seem, doesn't it, Ian, like the club essentially need a bigger break, not just your winter breaks, not just your international breaks that we've been privy to so far this season, but actually a proper prolonged summer. They've come into the club midway through the season. If you give them a summer, the Cowleys, they'll be able to work a bit more magic, and then next season is when we can properly judge this team. No, I think
Hello?
Are you there, Ian?
Yeah. Totally agree with everything you just said. I think the Cowleys, the inconsistencies you're seeing at the moment are probably because, you know, they came in late on in the season. Early on in the season, but after a pre-season. I think that if they can get through this year, keep in the Championship, stay in the Championship, get to summer, have a good pre-season, I think we'll, touch wood, roast into spectacles, I think we'll be talking about a different Huddersfield Town next season.
Well, let's hope so. Gents, we're nearly at the end of the show, but I want to very quickly ask you. Now, the Premier League have announced there's going to be a Hall of Fame. The first inductees will be in mid-March. Thereafter, I think it's going to go to a fans' vote. But Huddersfield Town are in this equation. 2 seasons in the Premier League, of course. Matt, we're asking all our fans across our fan shows here on Love Sport, if you could have a player, if anybody, that you would induct into that Premier League Hall of Fame, who would it be?
From Huddersfield?
Yes.
I'd say Christopher Schindler was player of the year both years for us, although Aaron Moy was very close. But Alan Shearer will be my favourite outside of Huddersfield.
What are you saying, Ian?
I was going to say Schindler as well. But to be different, I'll say Aaron Moy because he deserves it as well. Two great players.
Yep, two great players indeed. Gents, it's been nothing but a pleasure having you with us for the past half an hour on this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. That was Matt Shaw from the And He Takes a Chance podcast. Ian Dunn, big Huddersfield Town hero too. Big game coming up tomorrow, Charlton Athletic. It doesn't really get much bigger than that for the Terriers so far this season. In terms of relegation six-pointers, that is it. Charlton coming to the Kirklees on the same day, by the way, that you have Reading facing Barnsley. You have Wigan travelling to West Brom. You have Hull City at home to Leeds United. And you have Luton Town and Stoke City locking horns at Kenilworth Road. It is a massive day in the Championship. We'll be giving you all the reaction to that on this, the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. Same time, 10:30, Friday night fan show special. We'll see you then.
For downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.